Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
You know, you would think I would need a coffee working the overnight, but this Bears victory got me hyped up. Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Taking your phone calls. How you feeling about this Bears victory? So many things to talk about. Do you think Caleb Williams, as somebody just texted in, has turned the corner? I don't know how I feel about that question. Has he turned the corner? No, he's there. He was already around the corner. If you felt confident in Caleb Williams, this should be no surprise to you. The four touchdowns, I mean, obviously that's an anomaly. It doesn't happen too often. But in terms of his quarterback play, his composure, his desire to win, you know, the ability to move the ball, make throws, these are things that you should have anticipated. So, again, but I'm curious, you know, thoughts about this game, right? Ben Johnson, is this the offense that you anticipated? Or when you watch this game, do you still see certain holes? Maybe you're not as convinced by this victory as some are. But, of course, Bears 31-14. They were up 24-14 at the half. And then in the second half, shut down the defense. This is a defense that, you know, gave up 21 points on three straight possessions to the Minnesota Vikings in the fourth quarter, gave up 50 points to the Detroit Lions. And then, obviously, CeeDee Lamb not being there hurts the Dallas Cowboys. But the fact of the matter is, it's the NFL. All these people were talented, and you got to come out and play at a high level. And that's exactly what this defense did in the second half. Bears, four turnovers on the day. Bears defense, four turnovers on the day. Starting off with Tyreek Stevenson. Causing a fumble, ripping it away from Javonte Williams on a 22-yard run in the midst of a 22-yard run. That was the first turnover. Tremaine Edmonds with two interceptions, one incredible athletic play. And it's interesting because they had mentioned or showed that Tremaine Edmonds had made two Pro Bowls. And I remember looking at it and be like, damn, he's a far ways away from Pro Bowl caliber. And then all of a sudden he gets two interceptions, which is great. And then Joe Milton, the former Alabama quarterback, comes in garbage time, takes the team down the field, you know, two-minute offense, Bears playing cover two, just, you know, nothing over their heads. And then they get to the end zone, and the zone itself ends up working out. Kevin Byard ends up getting the interception to seal the deal for the Chicago Bears. So great job on both sides of the ball, right? Defense did their part, bend, don't break mentality for the Chicago Bears defense, and Dennis Allen, obviously with a lot of injuries. You know, you mentioned the Kyler Gordons, the TJ Edwards, but, you know, a lot of people are mentioning Austin Booker. This is a guy who, you know, was supposed to be in the rotation with Dayo Odenigbo opposite of Montez Sweat, who had himself a pretty decent game as well today. And, you know, he's not there either. And, you know, Jalen Johnson, you know, obviously a huge miss for the Chicago Bears not being there. So it's going to be interesting to see what the defense looks like for the rest of the season. Barring any injuries, this is a team that, you know, is very thin at the cornerback position. So if Nashawn Wright or, you know, even Jaquan Brisker were to go down, I mean, this defense, you know, again, they're playing with their heart right now, but it's going to be interesting to see. But the schedule that's coming up, looks somewhat favorable for this Bears. This is a team that, you know, had one of the toughest strength schedules heading into the season. But as you know, rosters change. People are dealing with injuries. But this is what the next couple of games look like for the Chicago Bears before we play some Ben Johnson for you. Obviously, next week, the Bears head on out to Las Vegas. Circus Swim. I know Spiegel and Holmes are going to be out there. Make sure you guys check them out. But that's Raiders next week, then the bye week. And then, of course, Bears go on the road. Monday Night Football against the Washington Commanders. Tough game, especially if Jaden Daniels is going to be there. After that, the New Orleans Saints with Spencer Rattler. So it's going to be interesting to see the Bears. That'll be at home. Then the Bears go on the road again to face the Baltimore Ravens. Tough one. I mean, could you imagine what Derrick Henry's going to do to this front four for the Chicago Bears? That's a tough task. But then you go to Cincinnati, where Joe Burrow will still be dealing with his turf toe surgery. And so Browning will be obviously handling duties under center there. The Giants at home for the Chicago Bears at Soldier Field. And then they go on the road against the Minnesota Vikings. And then after that, Pittsburgh comes to town. So, you know, that takes you all the way through Thanksgiving. I just told you right there. So things could be looking good for the Chicago Bears if they can continue to build off the momentum from this victory, right? Playing complimentary football, defense trying to bend, not break, and the offense. I mean, geez, if you can put up 30, a lot of those games are going to end up as victories. But what did the head coach of the Chicago Bears have to say about this victory? I want you guys to take an opportunity, but I do want you to get your phone calls in as well. So again, 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. We'll take your calls right after we play Ben Johnson following the Bears' victory against the Cowboys.
So I think Colston was the only one that didn't finish the game. He's got a hip. We'll see how that looks tomorrow. You know, I told the guys in the locker room our really points of emphasis going into the week were playing great situational football. And I'm talking about third down, red zone, and 2 minute. And I thought they really answered that bell. I thought we were statistically better than that team in all three of those areas. And that's that was good formula for us to come out on top here this week. And so thought a number of guys played really outstanding football. Two of the game balls went to Caleb. You know, I'm looking at his numbers. 142.6 passer rating and 4 touchdowns. I thought he was really good. And you know, the thing that you don't see on the stat sheet is he's getting a lot more comfortable calling those plays in the huddle. We were able to get out of the huddle a little bit faster, and we were able to get on the line and operate a little bit cleaner as well. So was proud of him for that. And then defensively, once again, a number of guys stood out to us, but Tremaine got the other game ball. He was all over the field, 14 tackles, 2 interceptions, and, you know, really came through for us in a big way. With that, I'll go ahead and open it up.
Ben, today's game, no complaints. What was it like for you to have your vision, everything that you've been trying to get engineered here, materialize on the field?
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, first 2 weeks have not gone the way we wanted to, and you know, it's early, and but we got to get the issues fixed, and I thought the guys were committed to that here this week, and we had a good week of preparation, and they came out and they played inspired football today, and so good things happen when you're playing hard, you're playing physical, and you're playing for the guy next to you, and I thought that's what happened here today.
On the flea flicker, DeAndre said it. He got hit when he threw it. He described it as like he shot a free throw back to Caleb. What did you see from Caleb on the quick release to be able to turn that around?
Yeah, I mean, when you're asking particular questions, I'll have to watch the tape on all this stuff. I just know that the ball handling looked a little bit iffy from my perspective, and those guys handled it really well. Caleb handled it really well, and he was able to throw a really nice pass there to Luther, and Luther turned the corner and scored.
Did you put that in this week, and what was the kind of thought process of putting that play in, especially running it that particular time right after Caleb throws a touchdown?
Yeah, we have gadgets up every week. I give the staff a lot of credit. They're going through and, you know, they're watching the tape and finding out things that may or may not fit from whether it was Dallas this year or some of the stuff we're watching of Chicago's defense from yesteryear. So that was really a staff find. And like I said, we worked it all week and felt really comfortable calling it this week.
Coach, what went into your decision to let them all hang out, so to speak, on the fourth and goal decision to go for the touchdown and basically put it away?
Yeah, have a plan going into the game, just where you're going to go for it on fourth down, and we got it inside the five, and I felt good about it there.
What was the reaction on the sideline when Tyreek makes that play in the first quarter, and how much do you think that changed the game for you?
Yeah, I think we had four turnovers and didn't give away the ball at all, so I thought it was huge. That early in the game, they were able to run the ball a little bit on our defense, and we knew that they were going to be able to move the ball. It's a very explosive offense. They got playmakers all over the place. Their offensive lines are really good. They got three first-rounders up there, and I thought we came through with timely plays when we needed it, and that's a good example of it. I thought Tyreek, in general, had a really nice bounce-back game. He's one of those guys, like a lot of us, that we haven't started the season the way we wanted to yet. He's capable of being a big-time player in this league, and I thought he played that way today.
On that fourth down play, DJ, we asked DJ about it. He said he had no doubt that you were going to go for it there. Is that the kind of attitude you've been trying to, I guess, build in the locker room, the guys know, have confidence that you're going to go?
Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily tell them when I am or when I'm not, but yet I don't think they're surprised at this point with how the preseason went and the first couple games went that we'll go for it anywhere on the field.
Ben, yep. Your first win as a head coach, probably when we drummed it out for a long time. Will you be able to let that set in?
Yeah, it'll be fun for tonight, and then we're on to the next one. You know, we're behind the eight ball here. We're 1-2, and we got to get back to .500 here.
What was going on with Darnell Wright? He came out, and then the whole time on the sideline, he was kind of flexing his hand.
Yeah, he had an elbow, and he was able to. I think he's gonna be fine.
Then in the second half, seeing the defensive line start to get to Dak, what do you think changed for them? Where it seemed like a struggle the first couple of weeks, but now it seems like they were sort of getting it at will, especially toward the end of the game.
Yeah, well, when you're up by multiple scores and it turns into a drop back game, it makes it a lot simpler to tee off. And so, they really did a nice job in those situations. We talked about that 2-minute stuff being a big deal for us, and I thought the way we handled the end of the first half on both sides of the ball was really good. And then, same thing, the way they finished the game there in the fourth quarter for us was huge.
How much should we draw a connection between the way you challenge your team publicly during the weeks and the way they responded today?
I don't know. They did a good job today.
Did you see a lot of your coaching points with him materializing as far as using his eyes to throw the defense off of where he was headed with the ball, things like that?
I have to go back and look. You know, when I'm in the moment there, I'm just trying to see the result of the play and where we're at and keep the thing moving for him. So these are good questions for tomorrow.
I have another one for you. On the flea flicker, were you able to tell how well it worked? Were you able to tell, like, multiple guys open downfield, anything like that?
I saw when the ball was in the air that Luther was open.
Ben Johnson following the Bears, 31-14 victory over the Dallas Cowboys. I like that he was consistent, right? He wanted to give up a little bit more there. I mean, obviously after the last couple games, the first couple games, of his tenure, the post games were short. I mean, listen, I do overnights a lot after Bears games, and typically the coach talks for about 9 or 10 minutes, right? Ben Johnson's been in the 4 or 5 for the first 2 weeks, and this one, no different. Right in the five-minute range, so at least he's consistent. He wants to watch the tape, and then he'll give you a nice breakdown on Monday when he finishes, and obviously gets an opportunity to talk to the media then. But, you know, this was a game, when it comes to Ben Johnson, it felt like, obviously, with his first win, the quarterback was decisive. The ball came out. And for the first time, Caleb seemed to be just performing at a high level. Obviously, finishing without a sack, that's the design, right? That's the sequencing where a coach puts his guy in a winning situation and lets the speed outside do the rest. And that's what Caleb Williams did, using his arm, finding his receivers. He mentioned it in his post game that he loves to spread the ball around. But this wasn't just Caleb being special. All right, this was Ben Johnson calling to his roster strengths, motions, rhythms. He had a couple well-timed shots. You heard them talking about the flea flicker right there. But it was efficient. It was explosive all at the same time. And it made you feel good because if you're Ryan Poles, if you're the front office of this Bears team, this is what you expected. This is what you wanted and expected, I should say. But I'm curious your thoughts. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. Gabe Ramirez here hanging with you all the way till 5 in the morning, live and local. This is what we're doing here on 670 The Score, being a platform for you to talk about your team and just like the thoughts that you had overall. And of course, We got a ton of stuff going on for you guys today. Of course, Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by BC Bank and Great Clips. I'm going to be handing it off at 5 o'clock to Dustin Rhodes. Pre-game show kicks off then. He leads you into Mully and Haw, and they have a great show lined up for you today. I can't wait to hear and see, for that matter, on Twitch or on social media, everything that Mully and Haw have to say about this game. Nobody does it better than David Haw and Mully in the city of Chicago. That is for sure. Olin Krutz will be jumping on with the fellas at 7 o'clock. And when you're talking about, like, wanting to, like, listen to radio, it is with Olin Krutz, because the way he breaks down the game, it is like no other. You get a little bit of me, where it's like a fan, but then you get the luxury of having someone that played the game at a high level for the Chicago Bears, breaking it down with that passion. So Olin Krutz at 7. Brad Biggs, you want an unfiltered opinion about the Chicago Bears that isn't clouded in happiness? Brad Biggs, 9 o'clock with Mully and Haw. Then after that, the fireworks continue. You know, we had Marshall Harris on a little bit earlier, but him, Layla Rahimi, Mark Grody, they have two great guests. Anthony Heron, you know, who's just one of the most, I don't know, respected voices in Chicago sports. He'll be jumping on at 11. And then Dan Wiederer does a great job asking the tough questions in the locker room and in the post game. He'll be jumping on at 1 o'clock to talk to the trio. And then Spiegel and Holmes, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, Kurt Warner and Jason Leisure, two great guests to break down what happened right here with the Chicago Bears during that victory. And then speaking of Spiegel and Holmes, you know, it's one thing to be jealous of certain people here on 670 The Score, but Spiegel and Holmes, they're doing it way big this week. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, the place to be for Chicago football this weekend, because Spiegel and Holmes are going to be broadcasting live en vivo, mi gente, on Friday and Saturday from Stadium Swim, then staying for the Monday reaction show after the Bears-Raiders game. So you know how that is. They ask for the extra day. They get it. No, it's a late game, so that's why they're staying there. So you can join the Score for an incredible weekend at Circa in Las Vegas, Chicago's football headquarters. You can log on to CircaLasVegas.com to reserve your stay today. And, of course, if you listen to the Score, first of all, they show us a lot of love out there. But the way the fellas and ladies talk about Stadium Swim and how amazing it is, you got to make sure you check it out. I was going to go to Vegas, but I thought the tickets would be too high. If you don't know, my family and I, we take a road trip every year to watch the Bears games. We've been doing it for like almost 20 years now. And this year we're going to San Francisco. We weren't sure if waiting till the very end of the season was a smart thing to do, but it just timed out the best for that one. But the Raiders game is going to be great. Shout out to the Output Lounge. It's going to be out there doing a pop-up. It's going to be awesome. But everybody's going to be feeling good. Why? Because the Bears got the victory. And there were a lot of things that you can point to that you should be happy about, including, you know, Caleb Williams, right? Including the offensive line. The protection day was stellar. Not just because of the no sacks, but there were moments where Caleb Williams was able to settle his feet, get to the back of his five-step drop, and then just let that thing go, right? And protection isn't just five dudes. It's also coaching. So Ben Johnson and his plan, you know, really neutralized the rush of Coach Eberflus, who, by the way, I'll be honest, I felt a little bad for him. And that's the Chicago fan in me, where, you know, you always got a little place in your heart for anyone that, you know, operates out of Soldier Field and runs your favorite football team. So you felt bad for Flus. Like, you wanted him to have success like he did early. But then, you know, when things started to unravel, you kind of felt bad for him after a while with a lot of the trick plays, because it almost felt like you were watching a Detroit Lions-led offense by Ben Johnson versus a Chicago Bears-led defense. It almost looked like that, but the teams were different, right? Because we were talking about the Cowboys and the Bears in that moment. But quick chips, slide protection, you know, the result just was what you wanted, right? A clean jersey for Caleb Williams and four touchdowns. And you can almost feel the identity forming for the Chicago Bears, right? Get ahead of the sticks. Attack space, finish drive strong with points on the board, and not be afraid to go for it on fourth down as the Bears did, right? That's not a hot streak. That's a philosophy that is formulating before your eyes here, and it's ultimately what you want, right? Ben Johnson said it too. Get me to the bye week, and I can tell you what this team is and who we are. But Ben Johnson, he did. He gave Caleb Williams the easy buttons tonight, and that, or today, excuse me, yesterday. And that's what you wanted. And I'm here to take your phone calls for it, man. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. Text lines are open. Shout out to everybody that's been checking in. Says people were talking about Marshall Harris, you know, coming in. Shout out to Patrick from Gage Park. Definitely a score ahead, always representing on the text line, showing up to places. What a good one, man. Makes you feel good when you're seeing this one, because you knew the Bears were capable of it. You knew the offense was capable. You're like, damn, we got all these weapons. Bears should be able to put up points. You got Ben Johnson, the offensive guru of the NFL, coming to your team. This is what you expected. And then Dennis Allen. Right, you weren't sure how good the defense was going to be this season because of the changes and, of course, the injuries. But you knew you had a former head coach in Dennis Allen that was capable. And you were able to see it play out. He was equally as excited on the sidelines. You didn't see much emotion from Ben Johnson throughout the game, but you certainly got that from Dennis Allen. I cannot wait till he hits the podium later in the week so we can hear what he had to say. But you know, when you're thinking about this game, what do you think was the bigger deal for Caleb Williams? Was it the four touchdowns, or was it the fact that Ben Johnson and the offensive line were able to engineer a zero sack performance, right? Did you feel that offensive identity for the Chicago Bears for that first time? This is who they are, a team that can't necessarily rely on the run but isn't afraid to dial up some plays for DeAndre Swift, even if it comes in the form of, if you didn't hear, a 19-play drive, one that lasted 10 minutes. Caleb Williams had his fair share of long drives last year as well, those that lasted within between 7 and 9 minutes. That we know. So he is capable of it. But this one was a little different. I've been mentioning a lot today that Ben Johnson is arrogant, but arrogant in the good way. Not arrogant that you roll your eyes at and you don't want to hang out with that guy because he gets on your nerves. He's too outwardly braggadocious about his skill set and it makes you cringe. No, arrogant in the Tom Brady way. Arrogant in the Floyd Mayweather way. He might rub people the wrong way, but not me. I love that kind of arrogance. You want to know why? Because I strive for that. I strive to be great and perfect. Tom Brady, you know, all the Super Bowls he has, one of the better quarterbacks the NFL has ever seen, and then goes in and backs it up, goes to Tampa Bay and wins a Super Bowl. That's the kind of arrogance I like. Floyd Mayweather, people try to complain about, he still fought everyone. Miguel Cotto, Manny Pacquiao, Zab Judah. He's fought all the big names and still beat him. Left sport without a blemish on his record. I can get behind that. So when Ben Johnson's going for it on fourth down because he has the confidence in his offense that they will get back to that predicament again, and he's not fearful of that moment, I kind of like that. I like the arrogance that, you know, you're going to do a flea flicker on a play, and then after that, a fake end around, and then after that, like, keep the eyes moving on defense. I like that. I have no problem with that arrogance. I love the arrogance when somebody asks him a question about the mishaps from the week ago game, and he's like, guys, I'm done talking about this. I did it already. That's confidence right there, and I have no problem with it. But I'm curious your thoughts. Do you catch that from Ben Johnson? Do you like what's happening right here? 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank. Oh, my gosh. I'm just so excited today. Busey Bank and Great Clip. Shout out to both of them. But we're going to take your calls. All of them. Line them up, man. I want to hear what you thought about this Bears game. The offense, Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams. This is your time. We are live and local for you. All right? Your phone calls right after the break. 312-644-6767. We'll talk to you next. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
We had our cameras on your head coach. We're not sure we spied a smile the entire game. What will you share with him in the locker room here, his first win as a head coach?
Yeah, obviously, we left a lot of points on the board, offense, defense. And so obviously he's going to be how he is about that. But, you know, I think it's a great win. Obviously, they're such a great team, explosive offense, and, you know, a bunch of great players on the defense, and obviously their special teams. So it's a great win for us. It's a start. The focus, like I said last week, is just going 1-0 each week. And we did that this week, and, you know, we're going to move on. We're going to enjoy in the locker room and go party in the locker room. But other than that, we'll move on. We've got about 24 hours.
That was Caleb Williams with Tom Rinaldi. Shout out to Fox on the post-game show for that one. Caleb Williams, if you get an opportunity, go listen to that entire post-game conversation with Tom Rinaldi. Just an excellent interview. You see a young man who is growing into his own, and that's what we're seeing with Caleb Williams. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for Ben Johnson for the game yesterday. Listen, if we can crucify people for bad games, we certainly should champion them during good ones as well, regardless of, you know, the defense that was there in front of them, you know, a porous one for the Dallas Cowboys, or the fact that CeeDee Lamb, you know, was taken out very early in that game. It's you got to take the highs and accept them for what they are. And that's exactly what we're doing right here. Gabe Ramirez hanging with you on 670 The Score. Of course, a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Taking your phone calls as well, 312-644-6767. But do want to remind you guys, I'm hanging out with you till 5 o'clock. Got about an hour and a half left. That's when Dustin Rhodes takes over with the pregame show. And then, of course, Mully and Haw come on right after that with two great guests today, man. Olin Krutz at 7, Brad Biggs at 9 o'clock. I'm sure I'll figure out who the rest of the gang is going to be talking to in just a little bit. But Raheem Harris and Grody, they're going to be talking to Anthony Heron at 11. Then Dan Weeder at 1. Spiegel and Holmes round out the bunch, talking to Kurt Warner at 3 o'clock. Cannot wait to hear what he has to say about Caleb Williams and his performance. And then Jason Leisure jumps on at 4 o'clock to round out the day. But let's go to the phones, hear what you got to say. It's been a great, great day on the therapist's couch because everybody's been happy. Nobody's been talking doom and gloom. So let's see what we got from Craig in Gulf Shore, Alabama. Man, talk to me a little bit about this game, Craig.
Well, it was pretty cool because it was nationally, you know, broadcast because
game of the week
in Chicago about 6 months ago, and so I didn't have to fight to find it, but it was awesome. And what I noticed that was kind of cool, and maybe it was a bad camera angle, but Grady Jarrett, number 50, I saw him knock an offensive lineman like 4 yards on his back, and I was like, you know, the defense, you know, is not the strong point of this team right now, but I mean, he came to play. And so I just was like, I was just impressed, and I was pretty happy because, you know, moving down here, everyone's talking trash to me after the last 2 weeks. And then, you know, anyway, I got to have a good day today. But anyway,
now, I remember, Craig, I remember you telling me about how people were giving you some crap down there. I understand that. But let's go back to the beginning of the game real quick, because you mentioned the defense, and it was interesting because, well, the way the game started, it was tough, right? Bears get the ball 3 and out. Give the ball to the Cowboys. Cowboys get the ball like right around like the 45 of their own 45, I should say. But then Javonte Williams in the middle of that 22-yard rush where before Tyreek Stevenson strips the ball out of his hands. Like, what were you thinking at that point when the Bears went 3 and out? gave the ball away to the Cowboys, and then the Cowboys were just casually running down the field.
Honestly, I was like, here we go again.
Of course.
But I will say something about Tyrique Stevenson. I'm glad he had a great game, and I it was like, I'm so glad he did good, but like, I almost wish it wasn't him, because I'm still mad at him about some things that he did. But I hope he's getting more mature and getting better. You know what I mean? I mean, it happened to Randy Moss. I mean, but I was just like, he played fantastic today.
Yeah. The entire Bears team needed to have that type of game. After the first two mm-hmm. games of the season, not just Tyrique Stevenson, but the front four, Montez Sweat, yeah. Tremaine Edmonds. I mean, that entire defense needed to step up, not just the guys on offense, not just Luther Burden and Colston Loveland, but both sides needed to look themselves in the mirror, don't you think, and really just test themselves?
You know, it's so funny, though, too, but also, like, we only did give up 14 points. So, you know, everybody, you know, I said the defense wasn't our strong point. I think we did actually pretty well today. I think that it's just something good to grow on, and I'm happy.
Yeah.
I mean, enough happy where, you know, I had so many chicken wings and I had a couple of beers. I fell asleep after the game, and I woke up to listen to you. So that's why I'm up. So, but you have a great show, and thank you. You do really well.
Appreciate it, Craig, man. Thanks for the call. And listen, this is what we expected when Ben Johnson was hired as the coach of the Chicago Bears, a team that could look exciting and explosive on the offensive side of the ball. And that's what you got. It was not just Ben Johnson's play calling, right? It's Caleb Williams, 4 touchdowns, the 0 sacks. I mean, there's a lot of things to discuss when you're talking about this. You know, early down efficiency was really something that the Bears thrived in this game. I mean, you could feel the rhythm. There were certain moments, don't get me wrong. I mean, obviously, no play caller is going to operate at 100% efficiency. There's moments that even as a fan, you can look at and say, this didn't feel right, but there was rhythm there, right? Whether it was Caleb Williams on design runs in certain moments and hurry up offense situations, whether it was the quick pass game, whether it was, you know, formation repeats that where it was the same look, but you got something different, right? You're teaching the defense a story and then flipping the whole thing at the last page, you're changing it into something else. And that's what you saw, where Ben Johnson, he did what he was supposed to do for Caleb, right? Which was essentially trim the menu down, define the reads, find your first available. If your second one's accessible, get there. It was really cool to see just everything kind of play out. And there was even moments where, you know, Caleb missed some people, right? But ultimately, you got positive and you got 31 points on the board as the Bears defeat the Dallas Cowboys 31-14. And it was something that had us all excited. Why? Because not only was it the offense that played well, but you also got the defensive side of the ball and some positivity on there. So I'm going to play a couple of guys on the defensive side that got a chance to talk. We were mentioning, Craig was just mentioning Grady Jarrett a second ago. So I'm going to play some audio from him, Noah Sewell, and the guy who sealed the deal, Kevin Byard as well. So here's Grady Jarrett talking about his impact on this Chicago Bears game.
You were able to address the team last night. What was your message and what did you want to really portray to these guys?
You know, basically just that we're all in it together, man. Getting to specifics, we keep it into our room with each other. But, you know, we had a good talk amongst the groups and we did what we need to do today.
What's the feeling when you pull through with a victory like this and bounce back that way?
A super great feeling. Make you want to work even harder to be able to put out even better performances. So we're happy with this one today, and that's what motivates us to continue to try to get better.
Grady Jarrett talking right there. It looks sound like Chris Emma was the one that was chatting with him. Can't wait to hear Chris's thoughts on the game today. But Grady Jarrett, you saw him with that one penalty, which, I mean, I get it. He was trying to be aggressive. Tom Brady pointed it out. You just can't land at the feet of a quarterback. And, you know, that was tough. But you love the tenacity. You love the pressure up the middle, because that's something that the Bears have been missing. Whether you haven't heard Jervon Dexter's name enough throughout the season. I've been mentioning Andrew Billings, who has been playing fewer snaps than both Jervon Dexter and Grady Jarrett. But you got to get that pressure up the middle. And, you know, when thinking about the other side of the ball, Dio Odengbo is a guy that, it should be there as well, but he's somebody that you want to see more from. Again, you want more pressures. There was a lot of times where Dak Prescott was too comfortable in the pocket for the Dallas Cowboys, and obviously executed at a high level. I mean, and when you're thinking about Dak, I mean, he was 31 for 40 on the day, right? I mean, that's too much time, and you're thinking, you know, two of those incompletions were interceptions, but 31 for 40 for 250 with no CeeDee Lamb, just had way too much time back there, and that's something that, you know, Dennis Allen likes to play man. He does the cover two with the man press. He's not sending people. You saw Jaquan Brisker get sent a couple of times, but even then, they would pull back the other end in those moments. So, you know, he's scheming up different things, giving them different looks, trying to create pressure in different ways. And I get it. You know, Dak Prescott, he's a veteran. He's going to be able to get the ball out quickly, but you got to find different ways to get there. That's why Kyler Gordon is such a big miss in those situations. You want to get him there, but, you know, you could, because ultimately what you want is your secondary to be able to come up with big plays like they did today, including safety Kevin Byard, who sealed the deal with a pick in the fourth quarter after the Bears were already up two scores. But he had the opportunity to talk to the media following the game as well.
You know, the main thing was out there to try to get a win. Obviously, I kind of took a moment, you know, pregame to kind of think about, you know, just the amount of years I've been able to play at a high level. It's just been a true blessing. But, I mean, just a great team win. I think finally, you know, as a team, we came together for four quarters and played complimentary football. Obviously, the offense and special teams played well, too. So, like I said, just excited to get Ben Johnson's first win, especially at home in Soldier Field.
Right there, Kevin Byard. You know, I had the opportunity to talk to Kevin's former head coach from the Tennessee Titans when the Bears signed him. And this is before the Bears had finished, you know, the draft and a bunch of offseason moves. And the coach ended up telling us, it was myself and Corey Wooten at the time, former Chicago Bear, Corey Wooten, and he told us that he was going to be one of the better signings. He said, I don't care what else you do during the offseason. Kevin Byard is a leader on this team, or will be a leader on this team, and he's going to be a great addition. And it's what you've seen so far, right? I mean, last year when Jaquan went down, you needed someone to kind of shore up that back end with the carousel of safeties that were there with Elijah Hicks and obviously Jonathan Owens. But Kevin Byard did a great job, you know, just holding things down with the lack of everything else there. So, again, you know, Bears defense stepping up in a big way. These are guys that are very prideful as well and is what you ultimately wanted to see. So, again, 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. Definitely want to hear what you got to say about this Bears victory. Bears take down the Dallas Cowboys 31-24 on a day that didn't start out particularly well for the Chicago Bears. Bears went three and out to start the game off, end up punting it away. And, you know, really it's where the tide changed for the Chicago Bears. Javonte Williams in the middle of a 22-yard run. Tyrique Stevenson rips the ball out of his hands and just gave the Bears what seemed like a newfound confidence. Like, oh, wait, we are capable, right? It's not going to be doom and gloom for the whole season. And then they proceeded to go on a five-play, 76-yard drive to end up getting the touchdown. And, you know, it was how it happened too, right? They start off with a run in that particular sequence after the fumble recovery where, you know, you start off with a run, still trying to establish it, still trying to get DeAndre Swift his carries. Then you get the Colston Loveland pass to the right for 31 yards, which – you know, it's great. You saw Colston Loveland get the catch, protect the ball, get the hand on the wrist to secure the football as tight as possible. But it was good to see, again, it was another moment where everyone got to sigh, whether it was Caleb Williams connecting on an explosive play or Colston Loveland, a weapon, the number 10 draft pick, actually being woven into the offense. That was great. And then after that, you see another, you know, a dump off to DeAndre Swift. And then that's when the big play gets set up for Roma Dunze, where Diggs slips and Roma Dunze makes a mad dash to the end zone and Caleb Williams throws a dart to kind of hit him. And then in that moment, and I'll admit it, I said, you know, it was a botched play. It wasn't, you know, true offensive output. It was something that happened. Then what happens? The Cowboys come down on an 11-play, 46-yard drive of their own that took 6 minutes. And got themselves a field goal. But shout out to the defense. Again, it's about believability, creating these moments for your squad, and that's what they did. You get the turnover by Tyrique Stevenson. You score the touchdown, points off a turnover is much needed. And then you bend, don't break, and only give up a field goal when Dallas was trying to really just take back the momentum. And momentum is what stood in favor of the Chicago Bears, because shortly after that, you get the flea flicker. What a play. Pull that up. Pull that up for me. I want to hear that again. I just want to hear Tom Brady just kind of gush over Caleb Williams. Grant Leader producing today. Shout out, Grant. And this was a play where, I mean, just think about, try to put yourselves in the shoes of Ben Johnson for a moment. You're dialing that play up. You scored a touchdown on your last offensive play. And then you give up the field goal. You get the ball back for the first time. And what do you dial up? Nothing but the good old flea flicker.
To hear the Bears a little flip to switch. Trying to get a flea flicker. It's way up there. Williams recovers. Throws a seed. Has a man. It is caught for a touchdown. Luther Burden's first in the league.
Oh, my God. Ben Johnson into his bag of tricks. Yeah, of course, not a smile yet. The flea flicker, the toss to Swift. Caleb, man in his face, and absolutely unleashes a dog all the way downfield. Incredible.
Wow. 65 yards on a flea flicker that looked like it took forever at the beginning. And then Caleb Williams threw a dart. Luther Burden's first NFL touchdown, his third catch. That was pretty sweet.
Here's Burden at the top. Zacchaeus on the over route. He lollies, and then he's gone. Lolly off the ball, and then as soon as you feel that safety settle his feet, you take off. But how about that throw? Basically flat-footed. That's a lolly. Get everyone to say, you see the safety react. And then you run that, what we call a high seven route. A seven route is to the corner of the end zone. You take it high. They drafted Burden for his speed. They drafted Caleb Williams for his arm. And they are looking forward to that connection for years to come.
Tom Brady talking about the incredible flea flicker right there by the Chicago Bears. And it's what you wanted. The way it developed was beautiful. Right, you saw Luther Burden take a moment, kind of draw the safety in, and he was watching his feet, sold it. Safety takes two steps up, and right when he does, Luther Burden just flies by him. And then you heard Caleb Williams talk about it in the post game when he said, you know, my eyes, before I caught the flea flicker from DeAndre Swift, they went downfield just to see how the play was developing. And then sure enough, he gets the ball, sets his feet, 62 point something yards in the air, the longest throw of Caleb Williams' career and the longest throw of the season so far in the NFL. And he connects with Luther Burden on the flea flicker, and it was an incredible moment. Take a listen to Luther Burden quickly talking about what his perspective was like on that play.
I think everybody got to do their job on that play. You know, if everybody don't do their job, the play not going to work. So, you know, shout out to everybody for doing their job.
That's right. And shout out to Luther Burden getting involved in the offense. You saw him make another play. I mean, this is a guy who, again, we talk about arrogance and the good kind of arrogance. And I think Luther Burden, you know, really operates under that as well. I think that's why he's a good fit. Maybe that's why Ben Johnson appreciated him, right? Seeing someone of that caliber still being available, you know, in the second round and you know, it's great. He's going to be a great addition. It's a great, great piece for the Chicago Bears team, which, you know, the offense is trying to really establish their identity. And that's what we're seeing today with this team. And I'm curious your thoughts. Thoughts on the Bears. Is this what you expected from Ben Johnson? Is this what you wanted this offense to look like? And, you know, does it get you excited for the future? And I'm not even talking about this season. I'm talking about the future for years to come. If this is your foundation of this offense, with Romo Dunze, Luther Burden, Caleb Williams, and then you just know they're only going to add to that, right? It's easy to pinpoint the weaknesses in this Bears roster or this Bears team, right? They suffer at the running back position. I mean, Jesus, I think I was looking, if Roshon Johnson was a healthy scratch, now he was on the roster, I believe, today. So you're getting a guy that didn't even get any touches. They gave him to Kyle Manung guy, which I thought looked kind of decent today. And I can't believe we're letting a seventh round running back just kind of, you know, spell DeAndre Swift in a running back room that's already thin to begin with. But, you know, that's what you need. So you just know the areas of improvement. You know they're going to go get another tackle, another big body to kind of put into that rotation, into the mix. You know they're going to get a running back. Like, that should make you excited for the future of the Chicago Bears and what this team could potentially look like for years to come. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 670 The Score, live and local on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. I'll be hanging out with you guys for about another hour, taking your phone calls, 312-644-6767. Of course, 5 o'clock, Dustin Rhodes comes in with the pregame show, leading you right into Mully and Haw. And they have some great guests, man. If you're hitting the gym like Marshall Harris, and maybe by the time you get out of the hot tub and the cold plunge, it might be 7 o'clock, and you have the opportunity to hear Olin Krutz with Mully and Haw. And then Brad Biggs joins the fellas at 9 o'clock. Then Rahimi Harris, Mark Grody. They got two great guests. Of course, Anthony Heron, who you can see on Fox 32 covering postgame or on the Bears Blitz. He'll be on at 11 o'clock to break down all things Bears. And then Mark Grody's partner on the Take the North podcast, Dan Wiederer. Him and I have had a couple of shows on Sports Zone on Fox 32. Great guy there. He'll be on at 1 o'clock. Then Spiegel and Holmes, the dynamic duo. They got two great guests. One of them is must-listen-to radio, Kurt Warner. You know he's going to have nothing but praise and adoration for Caleb Williams today. He comes on at 3 o'clock. And then Jason Leisure jumps on with the fellas at 4. So it's going to be a good one. Make sure that you guys are hanging out for that. But we're taking your calls, 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you, talking about this Bears victory. And there's some things that do stand out when you're thinking about this game. Not only is it the 19-play, 10-minute drive in the third quarter, Bears only had one drive in the third quarter. So did the Dallas Cowboys. That very rarely happens, but you love seeing stuff like that, especially with the lead. Bears, just 19 first downs, 11 of them coming via the pass, 7 via the rush. They had one penalty for a first, but third down efficiency, something that stood out. Ben Johnson touched on it in his post game. Dallas Cowboys were 3 for 11 on third down. Bears, 8 for 14. That is what you want from a team, being in third and manageable and obviously converting in certain situations. Caleb Williams poised in the pocket, finding a handful of wide receivers to get him those first downs, leaning on DeAndre Swift in certain moments to get some as well. But the Bears putting up 385 yards of total offense on 57 plays. They had 87 yards on the ground, 298 with Caleb Williams over the air. Caleb Williams was 19 for 28 on the day, and believe it or not, 0 sacks for Caleb Williams. That is, shout out the offensive line. Shout out Ben Johnson. Shout out Caleb Williams. And everybody got to go into that one. But 0, you're the most sacked quarterback in the league last year. And then obviously the quarterback before that, I won't say his name, the quarterback before that. So we've been dealing with quarterbacks getting sacked in Chicago at a ridiculous rate for quite some time. So to see a game where, you know, you pitch a shutout back there, I mean, you got to feel good about that. Still 6 penalties on the day for the Bears, but, you know, no turnovers. Just a clean game. And it felt good. And this is a team, listen, when you're where the Bears are at right now in the present, you know you're not an elite team in the NFL, right? That's fair. I think even, you know, they are striving to get to that place. But you're also not at the bottom of the barrel, right? So these games where you're playing against teams in the mushy middle is where you can really define who you are as a team. And that's ultimately what they did there. The Bears are a team when facing equal opponents that they can put up points, and if need be, the defense can step up in certain situations. Granted, CeeDee Lamb got injured in this game, so we don't want to take that away from the Dallas Cowboys, but the fact of the matter is they still have Dak Prescott, who Ben Johnson gushed over. Javonte Williams, a serviceable running back. They still had George Pickens, a number one wide receiver on Pittsburgh last year. So they had weapons, right? Bears defense still was managed to step up and do an excellent job in this one. But it was a team win for this game, a team win on this one. And, you know, the questions that I have for you is, when you're thinking about this game, would you rather see this offense keep the rhythm first approach, right? Or do you want them to push the tempo and live with a little chaos? Because that's what happened in moments. Whether it was, you know, design quarterback keepers, liking your personnel, you know, when you're going 12 personnel, liking the matchups. It's interesting to see because this is where I think this offense will be, right? And when I'm thinking about Caleb Williams' growth, when you see the wide receivers and the weapons coming through the way that they did, it gives you great hope. And when you see the protection play out the way that it did for Caleb Williams, it gives you hope. And let's not forget, I mean, it's the offense that you wanted, not only in the first quarter. I mentioned it earlier where Mark Potash was saying that the Bears had been outscored, I believe, let me pull up the statistic, in the first quarter, 92-27 last season. This is from Mark Potash. 92-27 in the first quarter last season. And this year, the Bears have outscored their opponents 28-17 in the first quarter through three games. So you know the offense is there. It makes you feel good about those things. And it makes you think that this is already the best offensive mind and offense that we've had since who knows, right, in those situations. Caleb Williams, listen to this, 25 touchdowns and three interceptions in his last 17 games. That is incredible because that's exactly what you want. I mean, obviously two in the last couple, but people shouldn't be shocked. Dan Weider, who I mentioned earlier, tweeted this out. I took a screenshot of it, who will be on at 1 o'clock with Raheem Harris and Grody. He said that was a 19-play, 76-yard, 9-minute, 54-second touchdown drive in which the Bears overcame a loss of 8 on a first and goal and ultimately converted a fourth down and the back-breaking touchdown. I mean, that's what you want from your teams. But I'm curious what your thoughts are. After a game like that, how are you feeling about this Bears team? Are you willing to ride the wave and drink a little bit of the Kool-Aid? Or are you still the pessimistic, cynic Bears fan that can't just be happy for a day? I'd love to take your calls and chat with you about this one. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank. Great clips. We'll take your phone calls after the break right here on 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.